I'm going to read some appropriate scripture verses here, I think, just before the lesson. But we've talked about, well, there was Cheyenne DeValesco that had cancer in her leg, and and same with Charlotte, had cancer in her brain, 11-year-old girl. And before they went to be with the Lord, they had such a testimony, looking forward to being standing before the Lord, you know. And when you talk to people like that, or you see them, it's a blessing to know that you're talking to somebody that's going to be physically, well, spiritually, before the Lord in a few hours or a few days. And, you know, it's just the opposite when you know, when there's somebody that just rejects the gospel over and over and says, I know my way is right. It's heartbreaking. You know, it's hard to handle. At least for me. And it's something that is hard to, well, you speak the truth, but behind it, there's a heaviness that, you know, you're concerned about the person. So anyway, comfort. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So, comforting words from the Word of God. Let's talk about the acceptable Year of the Lord. And he used very specific terms there, didn't he? Remember that the acceptable year of the Lord is Scripture. It was at the time, too. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty of the to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And it's not just an invented accommodation to make the events fit together. We can see, you know, from those Mark 16, verse 20 signs that we went through some of, or talked about last lesson yesterday. We can see from those signs that the last part of Christ's prophesied earthly ministry, the acceptable year of the Lord, was after his resurrection and after his ascension back to heaven. There was a year there that was still part of his earthly ministry. He was ministering signs and wonders to confirm what the apostles and the disciples of the Lord were teaching. And Jesus Christ gave the disciples a parable to help Israel see the acceptable year of the Lord that was going to come. It had to do with Israel and not anything to do with the body of Christ. So don't, you know, don't try to find a way to make this part of us or us part of it. This is something that happened before Paul was saved, before the body of Christ. It was an, I say it happened, it was a parable that the Lord gave before Paul was saved. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Yes, yes we are. Are we not now spiritually with God and Christ while we are living on earth? Yes, we are made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. And our bodies, part of us, are still here on earth. So we're waiting to be back together in heaven. And it'll happen. Second Thessalonians... Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, we'll be at rest there. And we'll be at rest there before the tribulation. So, first, look at Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Well, before we get into that parable, let's look, find out what the Bible says about fig trees. And this isn't just a rabbit trail, it's related, all right? Judges 9, verses 1 to 22. Jotham told his story. It's a protest about Abimelech, one of the kings of Israel. But the verses, let's look and see here. Starting in verse 8, we'll read down through about 15 or so. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Verse 10, the trees said to the fig tree, there's the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Verse 12. Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou, and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. If not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Well, we're not going to get into that too much, except to see what we found here. In the scriptures, Israel is pictured as an olive tree, a fig tree, a vine, and sadly, a bramble. But the point is that the fig tree represents Israel. So with that knowledge in hand, let's continue with the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13. Starting up again at verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Remember that in Eastern culture of Israel, the way they thought, in different terms. They counted in different terms. Israel counted time by Passover feasts, and they started their year with the Passover, so the dresser of the vineyard could have restated it this way, behold, these 3 Passovers I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. And so that might give us a clearer, closer sense of the meaning of verse 7. It has nothing to do with the translation. The vine dresser said these 3 years, and it's translated correctly in the King James. But in his Eastern thinking, he could well have been counting the Passovers, these three Passovers. That would have meant, you know, the same to him as these three Passovers. And by the way, John's record shows those three Passovers to be in John 2, verse 23, John 6, verse 4, and John 13, verse 1. So there's at least, I guess, depending on where the events fall, that would be between 2 and 4 years in our thinking. But let's get back to the parable of the fig tree. These, repeating verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Verse 8, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Well, what about the fig tree here? Verses 8 and 9, he says, Let it alone this year also. That is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the acceptable year of the Lord that the Lord said would be the last part of his ministry. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2a, in the synagogue, he quoted that part of it, and it was an additional year beyond the 3 years in which he came seeking fruit in Israel, the fig tree, preaching that the kingdom was at hand. Good tidings unto the meek, opening the prison to them that are bound. Bound in devil possession. You know, the devil thought he was getting away with a lot of, well, devil possession and hurting people. And yet, he was providing, the Lord let him do it so that he could cast out the devil and show that he was the Messiah. That was part of those Mark 16, 20 signs and wonders that confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah. But in that year that followed the Lord's return to heaven, they had the last part of their opportunity to make the right choice and choose him as their Messiah. Remember that Jesus prophesied that additional year in Luke 4, Verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister. And he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, during that acceptable year of the Lord, they could still have received what the Lord had preached to them. Look in Acts 2. Acts 2, we're going to look in verse 38. Here Peter addresses Israel in the temple at a Jewish feast day. He's not addressing you, so if it says you, every one of you, it's not you and me here today. It's those people in the synagogue that were Jews for that Jewish feast. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, Repent, that means change your mind, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That name identifies who he's talking about. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. And they're talking about him like he's alive. He had risen from the dead. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In other words, their sins will be remitted. The penalty for those sins will be put off until a future time when they will be handled later. And Peter told them a chapter later when that would be, that their sins would be blotted out. When? At what time? We'll look at that in a minute. And you shall receive, going on with verse 38, Acts 2:38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But and it's nothing they had to practice at, nothing they had to work at to try and get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice what Peter said in that verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. All Israel had to believe on the identity of Jesus being the risen Messiah, especially Israel's leadership, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the council, the chief priests, and the high priest himself. But they did not believe. They all had to believe for the Lord to return as their king. How can we know that? How do we know from Scripture? Well, look in Acts 3:18. Those things which God before hath shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So that shows that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Christ that was prophesied in the Old Testament Scriptures, and that, you know, he did the things that were prophesied that he would do. He proved that he was the Messiah. They should have recognized him. It was all written down beforehand in prophecy. Didn't they study? They were to study the prophets. The prophets were there for a reason. They were God's speakers to man. How impudent to ignore God when he speaks to you. Let's make sure that we're never in that situation. We need to study, to believe, and to preach. Peter goes on in the next verse, Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, or changed, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. This is what could have happened if Israel would have responded the right way. So they all, you know, if, that's the condition, if they had all repented by changing their minds, that's the repent part, changing their minds from crucifying their Lord, their Messiah. Change their minds from crucifying the Messiah to, I know that Jesus is the Messiah, and I agree that I was wrong in crucifying him. That's the repenting, changing their mind. And be converted to what Peter was preaching as Israel's doctrine. Converted, changed. Believe that he was the Messiah. Not only that he was the Messiah, but that he would bring in the kingdom that was promised. Promised to Israel, not to us. Your sins may be blotted out, he says. And he says when? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. The return of Christ to the earth is awaiting all of Israel's repentance, waiting for them to repent. Today, the verse says that Israel's sins will be blotted out at the time of Jesus Christ's return to earth. That's quite unlike the teaching of Paul, isn't it, for the body of Christ? We're told in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have, it says. And that applies to the next clause. Therefore, we have the forgiveness of sins. It's our present possession. According to the riches of our works? No, according to the riches of His grace. It's not something we do to earn it, or we could lose by not earning it or not doing it. No, it's by His grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works. As it is, Israel is still waiting for their sins to be blotted out. You can see that in the words of Peter. Peter, addressing Israel in 1 Peter 1, verses, a lot of places there in that first chapter, verse 5, verse 7, verse 9, 10, 11, and 13. Pardon me. Remember that in Galatians 2, verse 9, Peter pledged to go to, and that includes preaching to and writing to, the circumcision. He pledged to go to the circumcision. And that is only to Israel. It's not to us. What Peter says is to Israel, not to us. We should study it to find out what Israel was under and what we're not under. So, what Peter writes here in 1 Peter 1, it's not directed to us. It's not our instructions. It does not apply to us. It would be like reading a tractor manual and trying to figure out how to fly an airplane from that tractor manual. We have the airplane being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Israel has the tractor, being promised the land. Let Israel read their instructions from God through their circumcision apostles. We need to apply our instructions from God, which were only revealed to and inspired by Jesus, revealed and inspired to Paul. Paul was the receiver of those revelations about our instructions. Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. The only one named that. There were other apostles in general, just as there are missionaries. But there's only one apostle of the Gentiles that received the revelations and wrote the 13 epistles that are our instructions. Paul is the only one that wrote about our instructions from Christ in his 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon, and that's called rightly dividing. Well, let's read in 1 Peter what Peter said to Israel about when will be Israel's blotting out of their sins and when will be Israel's salvation. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's not now. That's yet to be. Should I read it again? It's pretty plain. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You can see it there. Israel's salvation will only be revealed in the last time. Look at verse 7, 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be, and it's talking about the trial of your faith, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's when Christ comes back, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The time at which Israel will have endured to the end will be at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. For Israel, their salvation is the outcome of their continued faith. That's unlike us, to whom Paul said, you are saved, meaning upon belief. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 8, Romans 5:11, you now have received the atonement. Let's go on in 1 Peter, this is verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, yet to come. Here in 1 Peter 1:10, we can see again that the grace of God should come unto them. It has not already appeared unto them as unto us. Again, unto us, Romans 5:11, we have now received the atonement. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Our salvation is upon belief. It's offered now. It's not yet to come. Romans 5:17, another confirmation of that. Let's go to verse 11, 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, talking about the Old Testament prophets, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The glory hasn't come yet. That's the two comings of Christ. The earthly ministry of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow when he returns in power in the clouds and takes over the world government with Israel from the land there. For Israel, their glory follows their enduring until the return of Christ to the earth. And here's another verse from Peter to Israel about that same thing. Verse 13, 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How much more clear could that be? God is gracious in offering them salvation. At different times, God offered salvation by different means, by different gospels. Israel had a gospel of the kingdom to be believed, but they rejected their king and their kingdom. We have personal salvation to be received as a gift because Christ already died for all our sins. Why should we die? We're born dead in trespasses and sins, and he quickens us upon faith that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. What a victorious Savior we have. Well, we'll stop there until next week. Any comments or questions?